As you notice in the first readings, we're taking just little passages from the various prophets. To give people an idea of this. The Word of God. And then we're following rather closely in Matthew. We do skip passages, but we're following rather closely in Matthew. Today, as you can easily hear, we begin the third of the five great discourses in Matthew. You remember what they are? There's the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. Then there's the great missionary discourse. We had that already, remember? Then there's the parable discourse we have now. Then, in chapter 18, there's the discourse on order in the community. And then the last one is the eschatological discourse. So we begin this one today. And it's interesting that we only begin with the parable. No explanation. No. That's probably the way our Lord gave it. And now why would he do that? Matthew particularly, who is sort of the... he's the Jewish teacher. I don't know how else to explain that. John is the most Jewish of the Gospels, and he's the great mystic. But Matthew is this, and he's mediating the Word of God to us. What you'll notice as we go through this, there are eight parables in this section. One of the key words, and it's characteristic of the way Matthew presents these, is the word understand. Understand. Now, that challenges us on many levels. See, the understanding is not just, I got an A in religion. The understanding is that I take this word in and I mull it over. I work with it. I carry it. When I'm driving, I think, what was the gospel this morning? What did it say? What is the Lord saying to me? What does this mean? I've heard this thing I don't know how many times. When will it break open and explode inside my spirit and give me life and power and strength? That's revelation. That's the Word of God. It's not a catechism lesson. We've all endured those, I'm sure. Understand. It's work. But it's not work. It's love work. You know, Therese, St. Therese, who died at 24, had a pretty good education for her age. You know, she said, if I had been a priest, I would have studied Hebrew and Greek so that I could read the Word of God the way God had expressed it. See, hear that inner drive? The interesting thing about her, she is a doctor of the church, remember? The interesting thing about her is that every key dimension of her teaching is founded on a biblical text. And somebody once did a study. And what he noticed was that her teaching goes to the same key text by instinct that Aquinas goes to, led by the Holy Spirit, getting from the Word of God this life, this light, this power, this teaching. And so the challenge is understand. Now you all know the explanation. You've heard it 100 times. You're probably not going to get it tomorrow because tomorrow there's going to be a discourse on the why of the parables. And that's going to challenge us as well. But I think the invitation today is to understand. Now the word that Matthew uses, sinione, means like to put together. That's a contemplative function. It's not a,
this is the practical stuff, this is what I got to do. That is very important, I don't deny that.
But we're not changed by practicality, we're changed by vision. Because vision is born of and creates love. We're changed by revelation. And nothing is revelation unless it is changing us. A new bright idea might be the beginning of revelation. But it's not revelation. Revelation is when we're changed. So, we can start to pray. Just imagine you had a whole group of people who are just coming to the Lord. And you read this parable out. And they said, now, would you explain that to us? Why does Jesus talk in parables? Why did he do that? Why didn't he just spell it out for us? And what does this one mean? What would you say? No books. Nobody else to look up. You got to do it. That's the way you begin when you want to start a contemplative function in a text. It's just me and the Word. And I know there's a library full of books, but I don't have them. I got to read this. Isn't that beautiful? See, then if you do go look at a book, it's supposed to help you crack the code. Not the Da Vinci code, the real code. It's to help you touch this, be changed by it. And you could start anywhere. Now, stories, we might get a little mixed up, but anybody could tell this story now, couldn't you? You might forget now, was it this one come first or that one come first? Was it on the rocky ground and then on the thorns? Or was it the thorns and the rocky ground? You know the ending anyway. That's where we want to get. So what does it mean to be good ground? I'm going to cheat a little bit, and you can cheat too if you want. You can always look in the Word of God for a clue. You know, that's okay. What does Matthew say when he says it? Well, first he says, the ones that fall, the seed, you know, falls on the... We're going to have a real challenge when we get there, because he seems to be talking not about the seed, but about the soil all of a sudden. Anyway. Falls on rocky ground. And before they can understand, they don't understand it. They don't take it in. So the devil comes and steals it. And he goes through the whole parable. He comes to the other end. And this is again, only Matthew. On the good ground, those are the ones who understand. So at least we got to say, it's really important to understand. And what does that mean? You know, we do this a lot, but it's important. In our culture, like today, you'll pick up the newspaper, maybe you already did, and yeah, you know, what's going on in Lebanon, what's going on here, what's going on there? Clunk. Information. No knowledge. That's not knowledge, that's information. Computers have that. Knowledge. Do you pray? Do you know what it's like to be there on one side or the other with these things flying through the air and exploding and killing your family? Do you feel the demons stirring this hatred up? Do you know how much they would like to make this come into a conflagration that would destroy the world? As they hate the image of God so much, that's what they're after. Then we'd get down on our knees and pray. Ah. Then we understand. Do you see the difference? And do you see how little we do that? How little we do that? Do you understand the challenge, the noise? Just imagine. And I've, you know, lived before. I lived in a monastery. We didn't have any radio or TV or anything. And we lived it rather silently. We didn't speak to one another needlessly. You get a chance to think. We get in the car. I don't care if it's pious music. Pious music, if you're so distracted you can't do anything else. What about turning it off and thinking? What's this parable, Jesus? Why did you talk in parables? You are the living, eternal Word of God. Why did you tell us stories like this? The man who went out to sow, the fisherman who pulled in good fish and bad, the woman who put the yeast in the dough. Why did you do this? Help me understand. One of the signs that the Holy Spirit is at work in us is that we get a thirst to understand. Now, understand for us means dominate and control. But think of the word. Understand means stand under. Receive it. Let it change you. Well, there's nothing in the newspaper that you have to work like that, but you can be there aggressive. What is the meaning of these things we're reading? Do we get the spiritual impact? We got this embryo. By the way, the bishop wrote a lovely little instruction. On embryonic research, it's in the newspaper. I'll give it to Mary. She can put it out on the internet for us. What's the issue? What's going on? How do I think about these things? Now remember, this is a contemplative function. This is not a domination function. A practical function. You know, if the light bulb, if the light switch, we got one burned out, but suppose it's just busted. What do you do? You got to figure out what's wrong with it and fix it. That's a very good function of the mind. You don't contemplate it. I hope it turns on again. But when we deal with truth that's greater than we are, you can't dominate it and fix it. You have to let it change you. And that's what Matthew means by understand.